In Parshas Noach, we have Shev Nisus Bnei Noach, and one of them is Avram and Achai, not to consume an animal that has not been killed properly. No, well, it's alive, to rip off a limb of the animal to eat it. And technically, Avram and Achai is not so practical in so many areas of Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea. Most people can avoid such a temptation of ripping off a limb of a cow and putting it on the grill. But it does come up in a very interesting shaila that is cited by the Piskei Tshuva. And it's based on this tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer is in two places. It's in the Tshuva in Yerodea Siman Tzadik Daled, and he also repeats the discussion in the Chidushim and Avodah Zarah and Daf Samaches. So listen to this case. He says, Uvda Yadana, the Frankfurt Domain. The case occurred in Frankfurt. Parach Tarnagolas the Soch Kalachas Chama Rosachas Al Ha'esh. A chicken burst into the house and jumped into a boiling pot of butter that was on the fire. Umesa besocho, and the chicken was dead on contact. Vahora gon echad, and one great rabbi paskind, umuhulal ma'od, and he was very clear, sha'asr hachema. Obviously, you can't eat it because it's chicken made with butter. That's asr. Afilu l'gayim, it's even asr for a guy to partake of it. V'shachuhu b'chutzos. And he told them, you have to throw the whole mixture out. U'besof, and afterwards, they came to him and said, his hero, debasar of b'chalav mutzer b'hana. What are you talking about? If I cook meat and milk together, I can't get benefit by giving it to a non-Jew or selling it to a non-Jew. That's us. You can't get benefit from meat and milk. You can't own a McDonald's franchise, right? But that's only meat and milk that's midah raisa from the Torah. But meat and milk that's forbidden by the rabbis, like chicken and milk, that's allowed. You can get benefit. You can sell it or get some sort of favor from a non-Jew by giving it to them. So why do you have to throw it out? You should have saved it, given it to the neighbors, sold it for whatever it is, and why suffer the loss? So b'toch seidibor, so he said back immediately, heishiv hagon tzatzal, de'en achinami b'hana muteres. I wasn't talking about it in Sister Hana. That wasn't the issue here. Umochra l'gay asura. The issue is selling it to the guy. Mishum deblias Avram and Hachai. Because this butter right now contains blios, it contains taste of Avram and Achai. To asra l'bnei Noach, because as we know from this week's parsha, Avram and Achai is asra even for a guy. So when the chicken jumped in alive, before the chicken died, it was alive. The butter extracted the flavor of live chicken into the butter, and therefore now, said this Gon Echad, said this rabbi, that we have a case of Avram and Achai inside the butter, and therefore that's why I can't do it. Not because it's usher to get hana from a guy, and it's usher for the Durabanan versus Basar Bachal. No, it's because this butter contains blios, it contains taste of Avram and Achai. It appeared from those watching this exchange that his first psak was not because of Avram and Achai. And he made a mistake in the psak. But because this person was a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that he should fail and become embarrassed. Hashem sent him a nevuah. Hashem sent him an answer right afterwards. Tirex l'shaziva mikisufa to save him from embarrassment. Mikomakam nilma degam shechai shaych peita. Nevertheless, as the Chassam Sofer, you might not have liked the way the story came out, but the principle is correct. The principle is that if something alive, a live animal, is dunked into boiling hot water, so then the extracts blia of Avram and Achai, the animal is still alive, and it's usher to eat. This is what the Chassam Sofer brings in his tshuvos. And this tshuva is very interesting for a number of different factors. First of all, who is the Gon Echad? The Chassam Sofer is so secretive over here. Who was it? So a number of years later, after the Chassam Sofer was published, so the Yad Elazar, Rav Elazar Horowitz, who was a rabbi in Vienna, published his tshuvos. This is in Siman Kuf Chafei, and this is cited by the Stei Chemed in his work in the Peis Asadim Marechas Beis. So listen to what he writes. He says, Tzarech ani lodia. So this rabbi, Rav Elazar Horowitz, got a similar shayla. So he says, before I answer your question, I need to tell you something. Ki agon hamor hazeh. Know who the rabbi was in that question? Haya adoni aviz keni hagon rashke bahag hafla. it was my grandfather, Rav Pinchas Lazar Horowitz, the Hafla, the great Baal Hafla, who was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. This is the best part. It was the first Shiloh he ever got in his Rabbanus. The first day he's on the job, comes out of the house, and this is the Shiloh. Some crazy lady had a chicken jump into her butter. And this is the first Shiloh he got. So we know now who the Shita was. It was the Shita of the Hafla. And this is the Psak of the Hafla. So the same reasoning, Isai the Halacha by the Yad Elazar, he agrees with his grandfather, and the Rav Polim and Chela Gimel as well. He cites as well in Yerodei Simen Dalet. It's also brought by Rav Azriel Hildesheimer, we'll get back to him as well, in Yerodei Simen Kufnan Ches. And he has a lot of questions about the Chassam Sofer's tshuva, but he says, it's the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer is not a nobody. You have to be machmer for the Chassam Sofer in such a case like this. And most fascinatingly, it is brought the halacha in the Yalkut Yosef. Rav Yitzchak Yosef brings in the Yalkut Yosef in the Chelek in Yerodea that he thinks we should be machmer as well for the Chassam Sofer. So that is the small group of posts who think that the Chassam Sofer is correct, that you can have blios, you can have tastes of Avram and Hachai. When a live animal jumps in something hot, it can pull out the flavors in such a case as well. And the Pri Yitzchak agrees as well. And he adds that even if you disagree with the reasoning that there are blios of Avram Nachai, he says, I'll add something onto it. There's something called Eina Zavucha. Eina Zavucha means there was no Shchita. If an animal can only be eaten, if it undergoes Shchita, and you somehow can extract flavor from it before you do Shchita on it, it's Eina Zavucha. It's lacking Shchita, and therefore it's also Asr as well. So even if, forget Avram Nachai, he says, I have a chicken. There's no possible way to eat a chicken without it having shlita first. It's impossible, he says. If you find any way to extract flavor from a chicken, or to use the chicken in some flavoring way, and there was no shlita on it, so says the Pri Yitzchak, it's aser, because it's ein zavucha, it didn't have shlita. Those are those chidushim. However, kemat, almost all poskim afterwards disagree strongly with the Chassam Sofer. They have all different discussions back and forth, but essentially is the argument's going to be that an animal that is alive, a being that is alive, cannot be polate. It cannot extract its flavor while it's still alive. It can only do it when it is dead. There's also discussion, which I don't understand the practical implication at all, of whether an animal that's alive can be boleatan. Can it absorb flavor? I don't know why I care. If I have a chicken that's alive, why do I care if the chicken can absorb flavor? I'm not sure, but they discussed it as well. But that's not for right now. So what are the issues here? First, we have here in the Tuv Tam, Das Hagol Hagadol Roshoma Pluger. So he writes in the Chelek Avin Sim Kufnun Hay. First of all, he says that, he writes, Shamati, I didn't bring the whole thing, but he says, Shamati, I heard that when the Baal HaNesivos, Rav Yaakov Oberman, the great Rav of Posen, heard about the Shaila and the Psak, he started laughing because he thought it was a ridiculous psak. So the Baal Nesiva started laughing when he heard such a tshuva like this. Then he says as follows. He says, "Dechai eno oser." He says, something that's alive can't make something usser. V'hachush meidal zeh, dechai eno machlet. Just our senses see that something alive does not give off the taste of what it is. D'davra chai eno bolea. And he quotes the Chassam Sofer, Mashakosav, Rai mehagon, ein zaraya. And we'll get to the proofs later on in a second. And he says, first of all, don't tell me it was the hafla, and therefore it was a gon echad. He was wrong. He made a mistake. If he made a mistake on the first psak, that chicken and milk is usher to get benefit from, he also said, if he was totally incorrect about the first psak, why would he be correct about the second psak as well? I mean, he's strike one. Why are we giving him a limus chus on strike two? Ubeprata kaimel and tamachachim shomer davar halacha v'chiddush in kodem ma'isa shomer. He says tamachachim makes the wrong psak. We don't listen to him, even if he tries to change it afterwards. Yeah.
Does anybody distinguish between Avram and Achai and the entire Chai?
We'll get to the stipler in a moment.
Okay.
So this is Rosh Shlomo Kluger, and he says, of course, it's not correct. Comes the Machane Yehuda. The Machane Yehuda has a very fascinating discussion and a beautiful raya. Devadei gam plitzel l'shaychel alechaim. Something that's alive cannot give off flavor. V'gam halo yadua shibarov pa'amim. He says, tell me about the following case. Lochim ma'achal roseach ma'od bi'adayim. You take something really hot out of the oven. You're baking bread in the oven, and the baker, at a certain point, the baker's hands are so calloused and, you know, the nerves are so gone in his baking from touching hot stuff, the guy goes into the oven and grabs out the bread by itself. Ubiprat hanashim, the women, shalochim lechem matana, the wives, they go in biyadayim, and they pull the bread out of the oven with their hands. Kushro seach, the bread is at least, 300, 350. It's way above the level of cooking that it would transfer the taste. Ukimachi yevshar leachso biyadayim, machmas resichas, it's so hot I can barely hold it. Vegam lochim lepamem hakavei biyadayim, or they take different parts when they're roasting the liver, hagachalim from the sov, shu rosachas no, it's boiling. Vam anashim lepamem nosim lefneim, basar rosach ma'od v'kor biyadayim. People hold hot food in their hands. Are you going to tell me that there are blios of people, that there's cannibalism going on when you eat food that was touched, boiling hot food? We hold that blia transfers at Yatza lettuce bow, which according to most of the kashrus organizations is 120. A person holds food that's above 120 degrees, and it's wet. You're going to tell me that there's blios of human being in it, and therefore we're all, violating the issue of cannibalism? A person takes their finger and they stick it into hot tea. That's, 160, 170, 180. You're going to tell me now there's Avram and Achai, there's blios of my human body in the tea? That's crazy. I'm alive. I can't give off blios. The whole thing is crazy. And he says it can't be the case. Now, this point becomes a point of contention, again, that the post can go back to in this discussion. And is it really usser to consume human flesh? Not that this is lemais at all, but it's just interesting to note that the Nosei Kehillah and Shulchan Aruch do note that there are five different shitas amongst the poskim as to whether human flesh is permissible. Again, it's not lemaisa, just interesting to note. Just going from the most machma shita to the most chamer shita, there are those who feel that it's not it's prohibited by the Torah. The Torah doesn't say anywhere you can't eat human flesh, and therefore there would be no problem whatsoever. The Ramban seems to say such as much as a commentary on the Torah, the Rive at other poskim as well. And that's one shita. That doesn't say in the Torah it's aser, therefore it shouldn't be a problem. The next shita is that it's only aser midrabbanan. Correct doesn't say so in the Torah, but the Rashba writes in the Chuvas that it's aser midrabbanan. Chazal said clearly that's not appropriate for a nice, Jewish boy and girl to eat. And therefore, they argue with that as well. Another shita is that it's prohibited not midoraisa by a lav. It doesn't say in the Torah don't do it, but it's an iser aseh. When the Torah says to do A, you can imply not to do B. So the Torah says, by all the kosher animals, zos hachaya asher tochlu. These are the animals that you can eat, implying that if it's not of these animals, it's usher to eat them. Because you're violating the mitzvah of not eating a kosher animal. So many of the poskim say, as well, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachos Asuras writes this in Perek Beis, and other poskim as well, cite this Rambam, that it's aser, and this is the shita of the Ramah, and most poskim, that it's aser as an iser aseh. Because the Torah says, zos hachai asher tochlu, this is the animal you have to eat, implying not human flesh. Then there are those who say that it's aser midoraisa from a negative commandment. The Ra'ah, the Ritvan Ksuvis, note that the Gemara there in Daf Samach says that, and this none of the Rishonim discussed as well in this Gemara, the Gemara says that you need to bring a proof. The Gemara brings a proof to show that human milk and blood are mutter to eat. It's not usher to eat human milk and blood, but it needs to bring a raya to permit such a thing. It's clear, so the Rishonim ask, I don't understand. It must be pashut that, why would I need to bring a raya? We have a principle in halacha that, kol hayotze min hatameh tameh. Anything that comes out of something that's not kosher would be not kosher. Anything that comes out of something that's kosher is kosher. If you take an egg from a non-kosher animal, from a non-kosher bird, can you have the egg? No, it comes from a non-kosher animal. So, say the Rishonim there in that Gemara, the Ritva and other Rishonim, if the Gemara needs to bring a proof from a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that human blood and human milk is permissible for consumption, what does that mean? It must be that he needs to bring a proof because the animal itself that it's coming from is not kosher. And therefore the implication is that there's an issur d'oraisa on eating human flesh as well. The last and probably the most fascinating reason about why it should be usur is that the Torah doesn't even have to mention it. Rav Kook writes in his Chazon Hatzmichonut V'Hashalom. So he says that there's no need for the Torah to say that it's usur, and it's a problem to engage in cannibalism, because any decent person would be naturally repulsed. There are certain things that the human soul can detect that it's simply not the Rasana Torah, and not the way a person should act. And the Torah doesn't need to warn us against such things which we have no inclination for.
What about the fact that the human does not have the basic simoni kashras?
So what?
Right, you know, humans don't chew their cut, etc., etc. So
that's for animals.
Different
cats.
That's for animals.
Well, part of the animal kingdom doesn't count.
No. So
you went to Disney.
So Rav Shmuel Glasner, who's the Dor Ravi, he was a great Hungarian Rav who was kicked out of Hungary because he was a religious Zionist. So he has a Sefer on Chulin, and his introduction is more famous than the Sefer on Chulin. The introduction is a fascinating tour of Torah Shebaal Peh and the process of halacha and all different types of interesting things. So he, one of the points he makes is that when pure halacha conflicts with world values, there are times when that global value takes precedence over the letter of the law. And he says, if something is considered so grotesque and an abomination to the human spirit to consume such a thing, and no normal person in humanity would engage in such a practice of eating, then it's clearly forbidden by the Torah, even though the Torah doesn't delineate it. And he gives the following example. He says, if you are trapped on a desert island, and all there is to eat is human flesh or tarfus, pig, so what would you eat in order to save your life? So he said, based on what we know already, according to the strict letter of the law, the technical punishment, it's more severe to eat tarfus, a pig, than it is to eat human flesh. It might be mutter, it might only be a derabanan, it might only be an iser aseh. So everybody knows that pig is asr midoraisa, it's chazer treif, it's the worst thing you could eat. So technically, on a point scale, pig is worse than human flesh to save your life. But says the Dor Ravi, no. It's so repulsive to do such a thing, he would tell you to have the pig before you use the human flesh to save your life. Because something just doesn't need to be said. It just doesn't need to be explained because it's so simple to the human conscience. So that was just an overview of that issue, but it touches upon these issues as well of Blios and Avram and Achai when it comes to humans as well. Fine. The Pischei Tshuva in Yerdea Kovdal Tzai Pitzam Sofen says the halacha is not like him as well. The Shola Meshiv, Rav Shola Nachinson, the Madura to Yisrael Chelek Aleph. So you look over here, he says, Zechai Ein Mathlin Mavliya Mahamavor Besimen Pei Gimel. Kalkalis Echa Shotesis Bechavios Malaya Mitzir Dagam Mutakashu. The Gemara there in Yerdea Pei Gimel is citing a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Mem, where the Gemara says that if you have a kosher fish and a non-kosher fish swimming in brine together, so there's no problem. Everything is an usser. It's all fine. So he says, well, according to that, why don't we say there's blius of non-kosher fish going into the brine and making the kosher fish usser. They're swimming around in the same, you know, pickle barrel. So why don't we say they're both ussers? The answer is it's a lie. There's no blios. It doesn't transfer taste when the animal is still alive as well. Okay, other shitas who argue there's no such thing against about a blios of transfer taste of Avram and Achai, the Maharsham in the Chelek Aleph and Kufayin Dal, the Shar Simcha, the Darchei Hora, the Amudei Or, the Beis Yitzhak, the Yitzhak Shnakas, the Chelek Aleph, the Shilas Yaakov, the son-in-law of the Maram Shikinson, Ram Zion, the Birchas Yosef, and Yerodeis, and the Kuflam, the Arugas Habosim, the Avnei Tzedek, the Chemdas Moshe, these are all Gaonei Hungary. All the Hungarian Rabbanim are against the Rebbe of all Rebbeim, the Chsam Sofer. They all say, it's just wrong. It can't be. It can't be that something that's alive gives transfer of taste as well. And the Chiyakov and the Mishnah Halachas of Menashe Klein in Chelek Gimel as well. Now, one of the proofs that are brought to support the Chsam Sofer is this Gemara in Chulin. And it's a pretty strong raya. Listen to this Gemara. The Gemara says, Sakin Trefa, a knife, if it was used to slaughter a treif animal. Okay? I shech the animal, and now I see that it was treif. What's the status of the knife? So, pli'iba Rav Acha v'Ravina. There's a machlok between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad amar b'chamin, chad amar b'tzorin. One says you have to kasher it 100%, and you have gala, you need to stick it in hot water, a real kashering. The other says just wipe it off with cold water, it's perfectly fine. So the Gemara continues and says, b'tzonein, the one who wants, you know, the cold water. And then he says, l'manda amar b'chamin, my taima. According to the one who says you need to kasher it fully, why? Why do you need to kasher the knife? Where was the heat? Where was the transference of heat that we need to kasher this knife after shechting the treif animal? So the Gemara says that the meat is usser, mishum de kamavla isura de hetera nami bala evrim and achai, because when the animal is coming, when the knife is coming down the animal's neck, the animal is still alive. It's evrim and achai, and the Gemara says that when the and therefore the blios of evrim and achai are going into the animal. So the Gemara says, Emas bala lichi chayma, Emas sukha chayma lichi gamra shchita, hayishayta hetero haba. So the Gemara says that the knife absorbs the blios of the trefa. And that, so the Gemara says, but even any kosher animal, when it's coming down on the knife, the heat of the neck is so hot when it's cutting through, so why does an Evri Menachai go through as well, even by a kosher animal? So the Gemara says that it absorbs only when it gets warm, which is when the Shechita finishes. Meaning the heat, the big burst of heat in the animal's neck is at the bottom of the neck. And by that time, the two simanim have already been cut and the animal's kosher. At the top of the neck, you're right, it's Evri Menachai, but the knife isn't hot enough. At the bottom of the neck, when it gets to the bottom part, the heat has been generated, and by that time, in a split second, the animal's already dead. And therefore, that's why they say that you don't need to kash, they wouldn't need to kash the animal in such a case, and he's only worried about the case of a treif, because at the bottom, the animal was treif, even when the heat was absorbed at the end of the shechita. So says the Sam Sofer, and say the other poskim, who have a problem with this. What does the Gemara infer? That there are blios of Evri Menachai. That's what the Gemara assumed. The Gemara said, oh, it's not a problem because the heat to transfer the blios are happening after the fact. But theoretically, the Gemara says that Evri Menachai does have blios. You can have blios of a live animal going into the knife. So what do we do about this Gemara? It seems to be a strong proof. So the Pri Yitzchak says that the Gemara clearly understands that there can be blios of Evri Menachai when the animal is alive. And the only issue in the case of Shechita is that by the time the neck is hot enough, the animal's already kosher. So therefore, he wants to say, the bird that falls into our, let's not forget what we're doing here, the bird that falls into the pot of butter has blios of Evri Menachai, and there's enough heat to transfer the blios as well. Why shouldn't it be the same thing? That's what the Pri Yitzchak says. So comes Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger is not going to let this one go. And he says, Tama ani alav. He says, I don't understand. Eich shgaga palta klumoso. How did he make such a mistake in writing? Achar ha-mechila, like, I forgive you, but like, you know, that was terrible, he says. He says, in the case of the shechita, there's moisture and liquid for potential isser to go through. And along with the heat that transfers the blios from the neck into the knife. But in the case of the bird, and we know this principle in all areas of kashrus, if there's no heat and liquid, there's no blios. If I take a dry piece of ham, and I stick it against a pot that's boiling hot, and there's no liquid at all, the pot is 100% kosher, because you need to have liquid in order to transfer taste. He says, in the case of the chicken that jumped into the butter, the chicken is not giving off any moisture. The chicken is, by the time the chicken is going to give off moisture, it's going to be dead. So he says, it's not comparable at all. When the chicken jumps into the butter, it's a dry chicken. The butter is hot, and it may, even if you want to say it's Evri Menachai, he says, in that case, there's no transfer, because there's no moisture being pulled out of the chicken. Next. Then the Shaul Lameshiv says that the question isn't whether Evri Menachai gives off flavor. The issue is whether blios of a davar chai are usser. Let's say for a second Evri Menachai gives off flavor. Let's agree for a second. Who says it's usser? He says the answer is that they're not. He says the only time blios, flavor of Evri Menachai, are usser, is when the aver has already been removed. That's only when it's usser. In the case of the Gemara Nechulin, the question is because the animal's head is being severed, and therefore there's an issue of Evri Menachai. But in the case of our chicken and the butter, the animal's alive the whole time. There's no blios that are usser from an animal if the animal is completely intact. The Stipler as well, Nikhil Sakov and Simon Hay, and Nechulin answers that Evri Menachai is not polate, and the Hafla was talking about if the aver of a chai dies, and it's attached to the Dabra Chai when it's alive, meaning the aver stops working, the limb stops functioning, and then while it's attached to a live animal, it wants to give off flavor. And finally, the Chiyakov says that any visible liquids that would have come from the bird into the butter would have been most and disgusting. It would be no sin tam lefgam, right? We know that also, again, in kashrus, if the transfer of flavor is done in something that's disgusting and edible and not nice to eat, it's not usser, right? That's why no sin tam lefgam. That's why if something is very old and if you haven't used the knife or whatever or the spoon in 24 hours, so we know therefore it's not a problem once you dip it into anything else, because at that point the flavors that are embedded in the vessel are no longer considered positive flavors. Okay. Fine. According to those who say that a living thing is polite, the blios of Irmin Achai, then how can a person eat anything that's Yaksa lettuce bow? Let's go according to the Machmirim, right? According to the Chassam Sofer Nafla, when I eat something that's 130 degrees, your mouth can handle temperatures higher than you can touch, right? You generally take a shower like in the 110 range, but you drink coffee that's in the 160, 170, 180 range, because your mouth can handle higher temperatures. Fine. So you take something that is hot, you have a hot cup of coffee, and you're drinking it, right? Now, according to the Chassam Sofer, when I'm drinking boiling hot coffee in my mouth, what's the coffee doing? It's being polite. I'm pulling out flavors of my physical human body that's alive into the coffee. And what am I doing to the coffee? I'm drinking it. So Chassam Sofer, tell me, how can I drink anything hot? I'm drinking my own Irmin and Achai whenever I do that. So the Be'er David writes in Simon Chaf Aleph, he says that we don't say Tam Kikker unless it's in Israel Lav. Unless it is specifically prohibited as a negative commandment. Tam Kikker means that, right, the Tam, transferring the taste of that thing into something else. We don't say the taste transfers unless it's in Israel Lav. But if human flesh is not in Israel Lav, it's only a Derabanan, or it's an extension of a positive mitzvah, so then I'm fine, and therefore the Samsof would be okay.
What if you had a cut in your mouth?
If you had a cut in your mouth for what?
Blood.
Blood is not Usar, blood's Mutzer. We're machmer to your own blood is technically mutter.
Even from outside your mouth?
What?
Even from outside your mouth.
We're machmer because of Marisayan, not to, if you have a cut in your finger and you you know, suck the wound, we're machmer to not do that, because of Marisayan, people are gonna think that, you know, you eat something or whatever, you have blood in your mouth. Okay, you're gonna look messy afterwards. But technically, it's not a problem. The Stipler writes in the same piece, he says, since we don't know for sure what the temperature of Yatza lettuce bow is, and we don't know exactly what temperature you're going to draw blios out is, and we have a whole subic over here anyway, so it doesn't matter if you drink hot coffee. And finally, Yad Sofer writes in Chelek Aleph that based on the above, and those Rishonim who say that Basar Adam is Mutter, we can believe it as well. Meaning, if you're allowed to engage in cannibalism, then you're going to be fine as well with your hot coffee. So at the end of the day, there are three reasons why we are not machmer for the Chassam Sofer and the Hafla, and the butter and the chicken. So first is that we just don't hold like the Chassam Sofer. Most of the Achronim argue. The second is that there's no such thing, according to most poskim, of tam ki'ikr by a guy. A guy is not usher to have something that has blios, transfer of flavor for something else as well. And in addition, there's also bitul barov for a guy. We have to have bitul b'shishim, we're very machmer, but for a guy, for a non-Jew, you just need a majority. So certainly there's a majority of flavor of the butter versus the chicken if you give it to a non-Jew, and therefore everybody pretty much says the hafla was incorrect. The last point is that, based on the above discussion, whether we know in halacha there's something called kavush, right? Kavush kiroseach. If I take something and if I take a piece of meat and I put it in a liquid for 24 hours, so that even though there's no heat, that liquid will become basa, will become fleishig after 24 hours. If it sits in 24 hours, it becomes like what that thing is. If I take, you know, a piece of meat and a piece of milk and I put them together in a container and they sit together soaked in the same container for 24 hours, both pieces become usher, pig, whatever you want to do. That's kavush. If it soaks for 24 hours, it takes on transfer of the flavor. So what about this thing like water? So clearly, the Chassam Sofer and the Yad Eliezer and those posts can understand that the living animal in water is being mafla, is giving off its flavor into the liquid and to whatever else is in the liquid. And they cite a proof from a Rush. Listen to this. The Rush in Avodah Zarah in Parakeh says that how do we know that you need heat to transfer flavor of something? How do I know if I just take a piece of pork and I, you know, dip it in a glass of milk, that the glass of milk is 100% fine? How do I know that's the case? Why do I need heat to transfer it? So the proof is from Haman. Why? Because the Medrash says that when Haman went to Achashverosh, and he told Achashverosh, oh, the Jews are such bad people, and he started speaking terrible things about the Jews, he said as follows. He says, you think the Jews respect you? He says, the Jewish people, if a fly swims into their cup of wine, they pull the fly out and they drink it. But if you, a non-Jewish king, you hold the cup of wine, they'll throw the wine out. So he wanted to make the Jewish people look bad. He was talking about, you know, Stam Yayin and things like that. So the Rush learns from Haman that if the fly falls in, why can I drink the wine? It must be that the fly was, that everything was cold. and therefore that's why you can continue to drink it. So says the Sam Sofer that in the case the cold fly wasn't a matha, didn't go off its taste into the wine, and therefore the fly which was and so therefore we see that the so the fly falls into the wine and drink the wine, but they won't drink the cup of wine. So we see that the cold fly wasn't maflit into the wine. So the idea being that there is an issue, though, potentially, of transferring flavor into liquid. So the chikrei lei, which is cited by all the poskim, says there's no natural ability in kavisha to pull out flavors from something that's alive. You could have a non-kosher fish swim for a full year in a bathtub, and you could drink the water in the bathtub, it wouldn't be a problem. If something is alive, it does not give off taste, and this is cited by all of the poskim on the Shulchan Aruch as well. The Tshuvos of Anagos discusses a holding tank. A holding tank where they would catch the fish out in the sea, bring it back to land, and they would hold it in a tank underneath the ship while it was getting back to land. So you have non-kosher and kosher for sitting in this holding tank in the bottom of the ship, filled with water. You have all these fish together. Shouldn't it transfer the flavors? So Rishon says, no. We see from all the poskim that sitting together in liquid, if the animal is still alive, does not give off its flavors, no matter how long it's there as well. Rishon Kluger and other poskim say that there's no proof in the rush, because most likely he was assuming that the fly in the cup of wine was dead. It was dead. That was the issue. Not that it was alive and giving off flavors. It was dead as well. The Maharam Shik and others note different issues as well. But lamaisa at the end of the day, so that is the fascinating shaila of the butter and the chicken and the chiddush of the hafla, that you can transfer blios of Eivrim and Achai. Is it halacha lamaisa in most cases? Hopefully not in most cases. It's hard to see where it comes up. But it certainly is a fascinating shaila and touches upon a lot of issues in Yoredeya. Okay, we'll stop here.